The Maker's House Chapel International presents Destiny Word with Dr. Michael Brady Damichek. As a child of God, you are mandated to take territories and fulfill your destiny. Destiny Word is designed to help illuminate your path towards a purpose-driven life. Please stay tuned for the unadulterated Word of God, a word that not only brings focus to your life, but also helps you navigate the challenges that comes your way.
I want you to put your hands together. Let us celebrate the Lord our God, the King of Kings, the Lord Supreme. Truly, there is none holy as our God. There is none besides Him amongst the gods. Who is like unto you, our God? You are glorious in holiness. You are fearful in praise. Wherever you are, could you please put your hands together? Let us celebrate this true King, this great God, the Yahweh over Israel, Yehoshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah, the Anointed and His anointing. Hallelujah. If you have celebrated Him, how many of you came with your Bibles? Or something that looks like a Bible. If you came with a Bible, whether it is electronic or print, could you please lift it up and say, this is my Bible. It is the Word of God. I'll go where it says I can go. I will achieve what it says I can achieve. I will be what it says I can be. Slap your chest and say, I am a believer. Come on, do it again. Say, I am a believer. If the Bible is yours, I want to invite your hearts and minds to the book of Kings, 1 Kings chapter number 17. I invite your hearts and minds to the book of 1 Kings chapter number 17. From the verse number 1, I think the King James Bible goes this way, but any other rendition or version of your Bible should communicate same. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him again, arise, get thee to Zarephath, the which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, not so fast. Bring me also, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks. It's for me and my boy, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, I understand your plight. I can relate with your predicament. But do not be afraid. Fear not. Go and do as I have spoken to you. Make me first cake to eat, and after that, make some for yourself and your son. For thus saith God, the Yahweh over Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord send rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the prophet, which was technically the word of God communicated through him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we know that the grass will wither, the flower will fade, but your word will abide forever. We pray that you give us a word that works. Anoint these lips of clay and make it an instrument of a blessing to somebody. Your God, speak to me. Speak through me. Speak for me. That the excellency of the power will be of you. That at the end of the day, O God, you will have glory. Your church will be edified, O God. Spirit of the living God, bless somebody this morning and do us good. In the name of the one who rules, reigns, and has regency, Jesus' name we have prayed, amen. I want you to look for seven people before you take your seats and ask them, what do you do when your brooks run dry? Look for seven people and ask them, what do you do when your brooks run dry? What do you do when your brooks run dry? I started this journey with you last week and I spoke to you clearly, I believe without any form of ambiguity, that place is very important. That no matter who you are, if God wants to bless you, he will bless you in a place. If God will send you, he will send you to a place. God will normally prepare a place before he sends somebody. In fact, the name Yahweh Yireh or Jehovah Jireh simply means the God who goes ahead of his people, makes a place or prepares a place for them before they get there. So the providence of God or the providential grace of God is normally connected or tied to a place. Without place, there can't be a blessing. Without place, there can't be purpose. Without place, there can't be provision. When God decided to create Adam and Eve, he did not create Adam and Eve and leave them in the air. He created a place called Eden and placed Adam and Eve in Eden, in the place, in the garden. When Adam and Eve had violated the divine precepts, principles, and the statutes of God, God kicked them out of the place. They were in a place. When they violated the divine word, God kicked them out of place. When God decided to restore them back to the place, God sent Jesus to a place, who died in a place, so that he can get them back to the place. Now, when Jesus was speaking to them, he said, I am going to a place to prepare a place for you so that I can carry you to the place. So place happens to be very important in the mind of God. God never works, God never moves, God never does anything without a venue, without a place. Place is important. It is in your place that you find divine providence. It is in your place that you find divine purpose. And whilst you are in your place, God expects you to exhibit and exercise patience. In the Bible text that we just read, you are introduced, first of all, without going into the semantics of the text, you are introduced to a man called Elijah. And Elijah, the Tishbite. That conjunction there simply means that what you're reading in chapter number 17 is just a continuation of what was going there in chapter number 16. In the chapter number 16, the people were infested with idolatry. They were worshipping Asheroth and Baal. Baal was their god. Baal was the god of rain and productivity. Asheroth was the goddess of productivity and fertility at the same time. So it was like a god and a goddess living in that time. And the northern kingdom had yielded to these foreign gods who were called idols. Idols because they couldn't move, they couldn't do anything, and they were man-made. They were made by man, but possessed by demons. In chapter number 17, we are told that there came Elijah, and God came to Elijah after Elijah had given a prophetic word that there's not going to be rain, there's not going to be dew, there's nothing like that, there's not going to be anything called fresh life or new life on the land. No rain, no dew, according to his word. And God watched over his word, and he performed it. Now, whilst that was going on, God said unto him, I don't want you to stay here. Go to the brook. Don't stay close to the river. The river is close, but that is not you. Don't make choices out of convenience. Move by my direction. Technically, that was what God was saying to him. Now, do not move by convenience, because that is the problem with many. Most of us, we make choices, we make decisions out of convenience. So because that is the only guy hanging around, doesn't mean that is your husband. The fact that that is the only lady that said, I do, doesn't mean she is your wife. The fact that every other woman is bouncing you, and that is the only bounce in you. Let me talk to this guy. The fact that I'm glad you stood. The fact that every woman is bouncing you doesn't mean the one who said yes is the right one. Don't make choices out of convenience, because convenience will strangle you to death. A lot of us, the problem is that although we are godly, most of our choices are born out of convenience. It was convenient for Elijah to stay by Jordan, because Jordan was close to Elijah. The brook was very far, and yet God said, do not stay by the Jordan. The fact that it's bigger doesn't mean it's better. The brook is smaller, the river is bigger, but the fact that the river is bigger doesn't mean the bigger will serve your interest. And most of us, sometimes when we judge and we look at everything and we do our evaluations, conceptualizations, we evaluate and we think that, okay, this looks bigger, this looks brighter. We stick with that. But it's not everything that bespeaks of life that is truly life. Go to the brook in Cherith, because I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. God was saying to him that I said in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 14, if you've read it before, Deuteronomy chapter number 14, from the verse number 11 to the verse number 14, if I read it to you, God was speaking about the owls, God was speaking about the hawks, God was speaking about the eagles, God was speaking about the ostrich, God was speaking about vultures, and lastly, God was speaking about ravens in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 14. If you get home, please make time, read that. And God was saying to them that you shouldn't eat any of those birds, don't have any business with them, because they are unclean. But wait a minute, God. You mean the raven is unclean, and you are not using a pigeon or a dove, but you are sending to me a raven to feed me. What God is communicating to us through this sacred test is that sometimes God can use heaven to bring hell. Sometimes God can use the unclean to communicate his clean message. Sometimes God can use evil. God can use evil to bring to pass his perfect will. It's not all the time that God will go to the parish to raise a man. Sometimes God can go to a bad place to get you a vessel that will be a blessing to you. It was a raven. In fact, ravens. It's possible that God had called a flock of ravens, and he was alternating them, and they were working in shifts. It's possible. It's not a particular raven. He said, I've commanded ravens. I have infused a microchip in their brain, in their bed brain. And what I've told them is that they should come to the brook morning and evening and bring you food. They are not supposed to come in the afternoon. They are to come morning and evening, because sometimes what God is saying to you, if you read the text, God was giving him breakfast, God was giving him dinner, but God was not giving him lunch. Not that God wanted to starve him in the afternoon, but all that God was saying is that if I give you morning and I give you evening, if I'm your Alpha and I'm your Omega, all that I want you to do is to work with your faith when you don't see me. There was no lunch provision. I wish I could preach to somebody now. There was no lunch provision. There was no lunch. There was only breakfast and there was only dinner given to this man called Elijah. But in between, God was expecting him to walk with his faith. Why? Because the just always lives by faith. If you can believe that the same God who took care of you in the morning time will take care of you during the afternoon time, then weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. This is the God I'm talking about. The God that is able to provide for his people, supply for his people, make provisions for his people before they even get there. And I pray for somebody under the sound of my voice that your God will come through for you even when you don't. Sometimes you don't see God. The lunchtime, you won't see him. But the invisibility of God does not communicate his inactivity. Let me rewind and press play. The invisibility, not invincibility, the invisibility of God doesn't communicate his inactivity. So sometimes the fact that you don't see God do anything doesn't mean God is not doing anything. Sometimes God is doing something and yet you don't see him do anything. And if you are there in that space of your life where you don't see God working, may God show you, give you a sign that he is the God behind your life and he is working things for your good. The last time I checked the account of Paul, he said all things shall work together for the good of them that love God and them that are called according to his promise. Is there any lover of God under the sound of my voice? May things begin to work together for your good. Is there any lover of God in this place this morning? May all things begin to work together. In the morning, so God started the delivery services and the dispatch services before people had the idea of home delivery. Whilst the man called Elijah was by the brook, God had dispatch. These ravens were programmed to bring bread and flesh. Well, that will not make sense to you until I bring it to modern day times. We call it sandwich. Because you won't understand. But it's bread sliced with flesh in the middle. See how you are. So there is bread. There is flesh. There is bread. It's called sandwich. And the ravens were carrying sandwich. They were arboreal animals. We have aquatic animals. We have arboreal animals. And we have terrestrial. The three dimensions. They were arboreal because in the air, there is no traffic. So God wants to deliver, but doesn't want delay. Because if they were to go on the land, there is a likelihood that there will be certain impediments that they will that would take some time. But if they were flying over, I pray that God will bring you speed in a delivery, that there will be no delay in what he has said he's about to do. And can I preach to somebody like I feel it? May God bring you delivery, that there will be no delay in what he wants to do with your life. And so they were not on land, they were on the air. They were not on land. Because this God has a way of meeting our needs when we need him most. Oh, Jesus, help me. The ravens were holding food. Stewards, custodians, courier service, they couldn't touch it. That is to tell you that whatever is yours, the devil can touch it. Or maybe I'm speaking to myself. Well, they are unclean, they are evil birds, but whatever is yours, even the unclean and the evil cannot touch it. Can I now prophesy to somebody, maybe seven, only seven of you, whatever is yours, the devil cannot touch it. Whatever is yours, the devil cannot touch what is yours. What is yours cannot be touched by the enemy. But that is not the only thing that excited me in the test. The new words, they should deliver it. The address was not mistaken. It didn't miss road. The ravens, they don't miss road. So what is mine will come to me. It won't miss road. What is yours will come to you. It will not miss road. What is yours? Can I prophesy to somebody? What is yours will come to you. It will not. They delivered it. It will not miss road. Because that is what people with shallow theological inclinations, people whose hermeneutics are off, whose homily are crying for help, people who don't understand scripture, people who don't understand, and we have a lot of quack preachers in our time who are not well-versed in scripture, and they communicate falsehood and apostate stuff, and they communicate things that underrate, limits, and undermines the integrity of our God. Who said if you're a child of God, and God has made a plan in eternity and before time, and has communicated that something should come to you in time, there is a demon or a power of darkness that can stop what God wants to do with your life. That, if it is true, really undermines what is called the sovereignty and the omnipotence of our God. But the last time I checked, if God says something, who is he that saith a thing, and it cometh to pass when the Lord our God has not sanctioned it? If God says you'll be the head, surely you shall be the head. If God says you shall be above, surely you shall be above. If God says you shall be lifted, surely you shall be lifted. And there is no power that can stop the mind of God from activations. People with quack theology. Tomorrow will be exactly 2 weeks since I came back. So about almost 2 weeks ago I came, and I was told that a pastor comes here with his people in the night after midnight, that they are coming to take sand, that they are going to work against TMH. And I told the security people, and the people told me, because somebody from the pastor's camp told me, as well, and the security people mentioned. And I said to him that, you know what, tell your friend that he should come with a tipper truck. We have backhoes, we have excavators. We'll excavate land for him so that he will not run out of supply. Because if truly is God working, the Bible says the light shines in darkness and darkness comprehends it not. I don't believe that the power of darkness can stop the mind of God from working in the life of a child. That you, a child of God, will be in an office and somebody who is an occultic force will be able to stop you. That is not the word of God. No weapon formed or fashioned against you shall. And any tongue that will rise is condemned. That is the word of God. Look at somebody and say, that is my heritage. Oh, Namo, come on now. Look at somebody and say, neighbor. Oh, neighbor. That is my heritage. That is my heritage. They delivered. They delivered home. Please sit down. They home delivered. Home delivered. The food to Elijah, the Tishbite, with no address, but the heaven had it. But the Bible says, after this guy had enjoyed the providence of God, the brook ran dry. What do you do when the people who have been commanded by God to bring you sustenance and life and elevation, protection, bring you comfort and care, love and affection, turn their backs on you, what do you do when the brook of life runs dry? What do you do when what is supposed to give you peace and comfort, harmony and joy, love and affection, something that's supposed to give you security and peace of mind? What do you do when the brooks run dry? Because sooner or later, your brook will run dry. No matter who you are, no matter where you are in life, your brook at a point will run dry. The thing that brings you sustenance, it won't be there forever. The husband that brings you comfort will not be there forever. The wife that gives you joy, peace, ecstasy will not be there forever. The job that you have that makes you throw your weight about and walk head high, shoulder square, chest out, is not going to be there forever. That political appointment that makes you walk with sirens, drive with sirens, and they open the traffic for you, it will not be there forever, because very soon your party will also go into opposition. The brook will run dry. The problem is not with the brook running dry. The problem is with the recipient of what the brook gives. What do you do when really you're broke? Oh my God, I wish I had a whole month to teach this. The interlinkages and the relationships between the man and where he's going to, what's called his next level, what God expects from you, what God expects from us when he positions us by the brook. The Bible says, and the word of God came to this man again saying, rise up and go to a place, go to Zarephath. I was troubled when I read that text, the first time I read it, because God, you could have sent him to the temple. Why are you not sending him close to the church, but you are sending him to Zarephath? Zarephath happens to be the headquarters of all idolatry. That was the headquarters. That was the idol belt. That was the headquarters of idolatry. That was the headquarters of Baal, and that was the headquarters of Asheroth. That was where their temples were. God was saying, I am sending you to Zarephath because I've prepared a widow in Zarephath. God help me. You mean you are sending your servant because you have prepared a woman who is living in a bad place to bring good comfort? Because we are not what we come from. We are not where we come from. We are not what we come out from. We are not. You can't judge me based on where I am coming from. God can have nuns in brothels. God can have pureness out of an impure stuff. Watch the test, because I don't have a lot of time. God said unto him that go to Zarephath because I've prepared a woman. The Bible says a widow woman, but we know a widow is a woman. But that's what the Bible says. So let me quote a biblical test, a widow woman. So that you can, next time you can also see a widow man, which is a widower, but a widow woman. I've prepared the widow woman to give you. The widow woman is supposed to bring you sustenance. Now, this is the beauty of the test. God is saying to Elijah that, Elijah, the brook is not your source. God is saying to Elijah, the ravens, they are not your source. God was communicating that I am your source. And hear me, child of God. God is your source. Whatever thing else, everything else is a resource. Let me come home. God is your source. Everything else is your resource. God is the source. The brook is a resource by God. The ravens are resources by God. If you stop the source, you cut the resource. For you to have the resource, you stay with the source, and the source will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. May God supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. May he be your ultimate supplier. Check the test. I know you read. So God says to him, go somewhere else. He could obey because he knew the brook wasn't the source. If he had thought that the brook was the source, he would not have moved. He knew that the brook was only a resource. And resources, they vary. If you do strategy, we have market commonality and resource similarity. Strategic management. This is strategy 101. That's not difficult. Market commonality and resource similarity. Resources can be similar, they can vary, but the source is constant. God changes not. He changes not. God says, Prophet Elijah, go to Zarephath. Didn't give him the address of the woman, just gave him the city or the town of the woman. When he got there, the woman was fetching, gathering sticks. The Bible says that the woman gathered two sticks because the woman knew that her resource was limited. The limited edition of a resource only communicates that you need God's unlimitedness to bring you his providence. Now watch this. Gathering two sticks. One stick for his son, one stick for herself. So when Prophet Elijah saw the sticks, and they were two, I believe that the prophet said, two. Said to the woman, I want you to gather unto me. Fetch me water. The woman was, please, as you go, get me cake. Get me something to eat. The woman said, Odifo. Uyo odihunufo, ana ubi odidi. Emudie hen. Uyo odidifo, ana uyo odihunufo. Which of them? Because if you really see, you know that I have little. Is it possible that when God really wants to change a man's level, he challenges the person by stretching him out of comfort? The woman didn't have much. Hear the words of the prophet. Give me to eat first. prof. I have a little. And even this, as soon as we eat it, the next thing we wait is death. And this is what I want to communicate before I close the service. Watch the test. The woman knew that hunger was not her problem then because she had something to eat. It was what comes after she had used what she had, which she feared, which was death. The prophet knew that death was not coming to him. Because the prophet was sure of his source. The woman didn't know her source. But the prophet knew his source. The prophet was running away from hunger. The woman was running away from death. It was the hunger of the woman and what she is able to do even in the midst of her hunger that would determine what will happen to her after she had exhausted the food. God said unto Elijah, I want to keep the woman, but I can't keep her if she doesn't become a provider. Watch this. So sometimes, to encounter the providence of God, God will expect you to be a provider, to meet the needs of others so that your needs can be met by his providence. I think I lost you. Let me say it again. So by the woman meeting the hunger needs of Elijah, lifted death from her home because she was waiting to die after the Last Supper. Jesus was saying that I am on the Last Supper. You can't be the Last Supper. You cannot walk with me. Out of your belly shall flow the rivers of living water. You cannot walk with Christ and have a Last Supper. But you can't enjoy that grace until you become like God on earth. If God is a provider, you should be a provider. Now, this is what God said to the woman. Provide. And as you provide, you will be provided for. Now, if I lost you there, let me wrap up and tell you this. The woman lived because the woman became a provider. The woman's duty was to sustain a prophet. Now listen, it was not just with food. We only talk about the food. The woman housed the prophet. What he was doing was that when the prophet got into her house, death was lifted from her house. So her household was liberated from death because life entered. But life did not enter without a test. The problem with most of us is when God wants to push us to our next level and he tests us, we normally fail the test. Let me come back. My time is up. Okay, be upstanding. Be upstanding. I was going to now share with you the points and what you do when your brooks run dry. Because the brook was not about the woman. The brook was Elijah's thing. Be upstanding. Yapon. Man ponte na kase papa kwa oni ni time so. Ome kame ba. Monka. Hey, because you are not a cast your pawn, say, but when in the times, and Perse obedi me on concert. What do you do when the brook of your life runs dry? Maybe I'll continue next week, but one of the things that you have to understand is that your ears should be developed such that you'll hear him when he brings you the next instruction. Because it's him who directed you there, you have to listen to him to direct you somewhere else. That's it. No prophet told him. God told him. You'll get to a place where you realize that there are people who prophesy and there are others who prophesy. And maybe when I am to give you the linkages, I'll share with you. Paul said, some people preach out of envy. Others preach because of their stomach. There are people who can tell you stuff because of envy. There are people who can give you a prophecy because they want money. So you should develop the ear that hears God, not the ear that hears men. Because a man based on his conditions and environment can say anything to help himself or herself. Lift up your right hand. God help me. Oh Jesus. This brook series I will need about a month. Because it's very packed. the linkages, how you identify even the woman that is holding your food without even knowing her identity. How you don't underestimate anybody God brings your way. Because the fact that Jesus was born in a manger doesn't mean he was not royalty. Sometimes you meet people, they don't look, they are not wearing the designer stuff. But it doesn't mean their lives have no design. I don't know if you got what I said. The fact that the person is not wearing an LV or a Givenchy or a Chanel or all the things you wear, all that. The fact that somebody is not wearing a designer clothing or apparel doesn't mean their lives have no design. You probably are wearing a designer on the outside. They are designed on the inside. Lift up your right hand. I just want to pray with you. We want to press forward and believe God. You want to go before God and say that, Lord God, direct my path when my brooks run dry. And help me find the right people when my brooks run dry. Help me, O God. Let there be providence in your place. And Father, I pray with your people. And I ask that you help us, O God, to know you more, find you more, live for you more, please you more, and be much more of a blessing to your kingdom. In the name of Jesus the Christ, amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together. If Jesus tarries, we'll look at the linkages next week. If Jesus tarries.
Thank you for listening to Destiny Word by Dr. Michael Bwedi Nyamiche. We believe you have been impacted to fulfill your purpose. For more transformative and uplifting teachings from Dr. Nyamiche, kindly join us at the Maker's House Chapel International Destiny Arena, adjacent the School of Nuclear and Allied Sciences. Join any of our services, Sunday Word from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., teaching service on Wednesdays from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m., and our flagship program, Morning Aura, on Saturdays from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. to engage in prayer and experience the supernatural. You can also be part of our online services, Command Your Morning, every weekday from 4:45 a.m. to 6 a.m., and Power Up Your Week every Sunday from 11:30 p.m. to 12:30 p.m. on our social media platforms. For more information about our ministry, you can reach out to us on 020-004-7488 or 026-681-3275. Additionally, visit our website at www.themakershouse.org. God bless you abundantly as you journey towards your destiny with courage and faith. Destiny Word. Be empowered to take territories and fulfill destinies.